The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Sesh. I am Kendall Ray.
And I'm Janelle. Thank you for joining us on this lovely Sunday. Or whenever you're watching this.
Sunday sesh.
Sunday, it's so good.
A lot of people watch it on Sundays. A majority of our views normally come in on Sunday.
Sunday is like the best vibe. I used to hate Sundays growing up because it was like the day before school and it was like a homework day. But now I live for a Sunday.
I do too. Like
Sunday naps. Watching TV.
And that's kind of the whole vibe of our show. Like legitimately when we started talking about the sesh, we were like, we want this to be something you can throw on a Sunday. Like while you're doing laundry,
exactly.
While you're hanging out, like really casual
seshing
listening.
Yourself, maybe.
Yeah, you never know. And today we're going to be really taking a chill sesh.
Yes, we are. We don't really have a whole, and usually we have like a kind of a little rough outline of like some spices and then like a specific topic or game. But right now we kind of want to just see where the episode takes us. We are having, you know, we have a loose plan, I guess you could say. We're going to be we're going to be reading some Reddit. Well, a Reddit forum is Am I the Asshole? You guys highly requested that on Twitter.
Yep, that was our number one request.
Yeah.
That, and you guys want to see the boys on the show.
Yes.
Our boys. Boys, they're like 20.
What,
how old are they?
28.
Josh is 20
something.
Yeah, late 20s. How old is Josh? He's gonna be 29, I think.
Oh my god, that's so old.
Whoa. Dang.
She goes, oh,
I'm gonna be 28 like in a month or two.
Oh my god, that's really scary.
But anyway, 28? We're gonna get our old asses to play a game. And so that's gonna be the next episode. So look forward to that because that was the top request. But second one was to react to this specific Reddit forum, which I've never heard of.
I'm really excited. And yeah, if you're not aware of what it is, basically people submit different scenarios or like things that have happened in their lives, ways they reacted or handled a specific situation. And they, you know, sometimes it's controversial or maybe they feel like an asshole or someone told them like they were in the wrong. It's essentially like, am I in the wrong here? Am I the asshole in this situation? And people will read them and like react to them. And so we thought it'd be kind of funny and interesting to do.
Yeah. And we just want this episode to be really chill. I personally need to chill. Like, I've had a really stressful week. I'm doing okay. But this week has been like pretty mentally taxing. Like, I definitely feel like my... It's so funny because last week I was like, I'm doing the best I've ever done.
And I was over here like, oh, I know. I'm hanging on.
Which, side note, so many people were thankful that you talked about that and could totally relate.
Yeah, it felt really great to read comments that were like, dude, I'm feeling the same way. Like, I know that I'm not the only one, but sometimes it's like, it kind of, sometimes you can like feel like, just like you get so low in your own little head and then you're like, no one understands how I'm feeling. And maybe not to the fullest extent, obviously, but it is so nice to have people that can relate to like, yeah, dude, I understand what you feel. And you say like, oh, I'm feeling numb or I'm going through the motions. Like,
yeah,
it's just nice for people to relate to that because, you know, it normalizes it. And you're not like some weirdo that's like, why am I sad?
No, you're human. Of course. I think we all experience that at some point. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think to a degree, hearing that other people experience that just gives you that sense of, I'm not like, I'm going to get through this.
Yes.
It, you know, you do get to the other side.
100%.
Sharing is good.
Yeah. You know? No, it feels so good. And we'll talk, I want to like touch more on that in a little bit, but.
And I feel like I need to do it this week.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like anxious and feeling like a little down and not great this week.
Oh my God. Okay. Well,
I'm fine. But I'm just like, okay. So if you watch my YouTube channel, you know that I do these family involved videos about every month or every other month where someone, a victim's family member actually comes on my channel. It's a project when Janelle and I, we edit the whole thing. It takes a long time. Like we edit down tons of footage into one thing. It's very, and it's a very emotional thing for us because it just is like
watching raw footage of family members that, you know, have other family members that are either whether they're victims or secondary victims or whatever it may be, watching like the raw footage of them tell their story is brutal.
It really is. Like, it is like, and you know, it's like something I never understood until I actually started doing this, like to the extent that I do now, to where it like really makes me emotional. Because, and I think part of it's we've done all of this footage, and that connects you to a degree too, like working with these raw files. Like sometimes you see the uncut versions, and that's really, really intense.
Yeah.
But like, I've also now experienced, I went down to the Indracchio's house and spent time with their family for a week. And that just like changed my perspective on crime and families. Like to me and Josh just get like really emotional about it now, because we've seen what it's like to live this every fucking day. And then it's not just an hour long YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we get like protective of the people that we bring onto our channels. And this happened to me last year with Christian's documentary, because we worked on that thing for, oh my gosh.
It was amazing. Like, it was an incredible experience, but holy crap.
I would do it again, but it was a ton of work.
We learned a lot. I would do things differently. I would give us more time, because we were like,
it was our first
6 weeks to edit. It'll be fine. Newsflash, 6 weeks was not fine.
For a 2 hour documentary. But it was like the most rewarding experience.
Yeah, it was.
And
it
we
was
became
incredible.
Like, friends with their family. Like, we'll probably
always be
friends
with them. I
wish so
bad I could have gone down there with you guys. It just sounds like it was cool to edit it, but I'm sure it meant even so much more because you were there and you like had these personal connections with these people. And
I know next time you should go.
I will.
I'm already kind of planning some things. I'll have to talk to you after and fill you in on some ideas I've got going on brewing for once it's safe to do things again.
Because
it's like quarantine happened right after we released this documentary. And then so I got like very emotional about that comment section. Remember how bad it was? I like could not even look at the comments, because if anyone said anything about their family or about Christian, I would just like lose my shit to another level. I'd feel like so responsible and heated. I'd be like responding to each person. I had to really shut it down. I've had to like work with a therapist to like understand, if you're going to do this type of thing, you have to be ready for the comments. The internet is the fucking internet, and people are unfortunately not as sensitive as I wish that they were. But I knew that this last one was going to be hard, because anytime that there's a situation of abuse, or I don't want to get into like the whole case right now, but I knew that there would be comments that were very like judgmental of their family and aggressive towards them.
Yeah.
And so I even said in the video, like, please,
you said it
please
twice.
Be nice. Yeah, I said it twice. And I thought that would work. And it didn't work. It did not work. And like,
I knew it wouldn't work. Like, I knew, like, not that it would work. I knew that there'd still be people who are like, fuck that, I'm gonna do it anyways. But it was kind of wild within even like the first hour you posted.
Right. And normally the first hour is the best people.
Because it's like the real like homies that have your notifications on. They're like fans. They're not like trolls or people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that everyone that disagreed like wasn't a fan or something, but I just am like, why can't you just like keep that off the comments section?
Like, you're whatever, you can have your opinion, but just like, it's not helpful. The family reads the comments. I even said in the video, the family is going to read these comments. Please just be kind. Like, they've literally lost. I can't even like, it really chokes me up, because it's like, it's just, it makes me angry that this should have been such a positive experience for Eric to come on my channel. This was huge for him, and it was. And he's so happy. Like, he's telling me he's fine. I'm the one who's being dramatic about it, and I've been kind of like upset about it all week.
Well, I guess you have to think of that fact that he's been dealing with this for years, whereas like you have only like, you know, worked with this story and situation for, you know, a little while now, whereas like this isn't the first time he's gotten, you know, feedback, I guess.
Certainly not. And he's like, he's so sweet. And he's like been posting, like he posted like a Schitt's Creek meme about people writing comments. And like, he's just been like, he told me he just stopped reading them. And I was like, good for you. Cause I had to stop too. Like, which was a bummer, because I get amped to read my comments when it first goes live. That's like the funnest time for me, like the first hour, because normally it's the most supportive comments and people are, I don't know, it's just a kinder group of people. And then when it spreads to the rest of the internet, it kind of gets worse and worse. So normally I'll like tune in for the first hour or two. And then I kind of like dabble in it for the first 24, and then I kind of tune out. But I had to get off this comment section in the first hour.
No,
and that is so shitty, because we worked so hard on this video.
It was one of my favorite ones. Just like how it came out.
I was so proud of it.
It pulled on my heart so much. I was like, so, I thought it was like really beautiful how it was like ended up turning out.
Yeah.
And I was really excited. And I'm not saying like overwhelming, people were still very positive.
Oh, of course.
But it
such
was
a
just
small amount.
It was just weird to see people like, if it's not even like, oh, why didn't you like our nice masterpiece we put together? Like, why are you being rude to victims?
Yeah.
Why are you victim blaming?
It was on, so
online. So and then bad. Then people were coming at us on like Twitter and mm-hmm. shit. And I was mm-hmm. like, what is going on?
Yeah, it was kind of insane. Like, and then Janelle had even tweeted something about victim blaming and not, you can't really understand someone's situation unless yeah. you've been in an abusive relationship to the extent that Eric's mother has been.
And oftentimes trying to leave an abusive relationship is incredibly dangerous, could mm-hmm. get you more hurt or killed. Mm-hmm. So it's so much more complicated than we'll just get up and leave. Like, I would never yeah. stand for that, especially if my kid was involved in like, but you can't say that because you've never been in a situation. And like, I've been lucky enough to where I've never been in a situation, but I feel mm-hmm. as though I'm still able to like imagine that. And like, I can't imagine how you could like put judgment on someone like that. And there's one thing, it's one thing to like think that in your head and go tell your dog or your husband yeah. or your wife about
go
it
tell
or whatever.
Your fucking dog. That's what I always think to myself.
But like why do you need to say this when you know that the family's reading that and you know that at the end of the day, like what's done is done. And you leaving that comment is not going to change what happened. And yeah. so it's just like, what, like, what's the point? Is like, mm-hmm. I just like feel like the only thing that that comment does is make people feel upset. And like,
yeah, it's like, what are you doing? You're literally doing nothing. You are making shit worse. And yeah. I wish people understood the gravity of it, that like you type this little comment and it might be a minute long thing for you. And then you move on to your next hate comment. But to them, that comment might stick with them for fucking years.
Yeah.
There are things people have even said to me over the years that I still remember from 5-6 years ago that is ingrained into my fucking head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't realize the gravity of their words.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know what Eric said? I love this. Eric tweeted, opinions are like assholes.
Everyone has one,
but not everyone should be seen. And it's like, that is the truest thing ever. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean all of us need to fucking see it and have some awareness about when it's helpful to say something and when it's not.
Like, there are plenty of times where I'll think something in my head, but I would never imagine, like, it's never crossed my mind to ever, like, publicly say my thought, because I'm like, I know that that like has no, that would not be weird. Helpful in any sense. Like, I've mm-hmm. people who leave like hate comments on YouTube and stuff, I think it's very bizarre. I can't imagine, like, and I honestly feel bad for people at the end of the day. I really do, because I know that like they must be going through something really terrible in their own lives.
It's so true.
And that's why they feel the need to like lash out at others. And so like, mm-hmm. I really do try and like have empathy for people. It's just weird. Like, I can't imagine being like so mad at these strangers that are going through terrible things that you feel the need to like post and shame them.
Yeah. Or yeah.
For their stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then come at people like so extremely aggressively. Like, even last night, Janelle and I were laying in my bed editing this week's video.
Yeah.
And we were looking at Twitter and someone tagged Janelle in this. And then we were
so
like,
random.
Kendall, shame on you for defending this mother. And then at Janelle, you two should never have kids.
At Janelle Fields and you should never have kids. I was like,
we were like, what?
I was like, wait, first, why am I getting dragged in this random tweet? It was,
know.
It was.
And then that really pissed me off because they brought you into it. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, I know you got mad.
You don't say stuff to my cousin. Like,
it was so like,
leave her out of
plus,
this.
Plus, like, that's just a really shitty thing to say to someone. Like, mm-hmm. you two should never have kids.
That, yeah, that's just beyond like
what?
And it comes to a point where like, for the most part, I ignore dumb comments on the internet. But like, it comes to a point where I'm like, you know what? You're not going to fucking say that to me. And maybe that's because I'm just raised by my Italian father. But like, there's a point where you're not going to disrespect me like that and say stuff like that to me. And it's just, it's so wrong. Like, it's so out of line. And it's just, God, I could just go on and on. But I've learned, like, it's interesting that this is now what upsets me. If someone can call me fat, someone can call me ugly, someone can say I'm stupid or I'm don't research enough or I suck at editing, like, say whatever the fuck you want. That none of that bothers me. It's these comments towards family or towards my family where it just like it sends me into a panic attack. Like, it's literally raising my blood pressure even talking about it now.
Mm-hmm.
And reading that comment section the other day, I had a full on panic attack. Like, Josh was like, give me your phone.
Give
done.
It to me.
Go lay in the dark in your room. Like, breathe.
Oh my God. Good for Josh.
And it really, like, it affected me for like days. And it still to the point where I'm like, I can't look at my Creator Studio app right now because that's my most recent video. And I don't even want to, what if there's a chance someone says something and it just literally triggers me.
That's so, it's
annoying. I'm like, why can't this be? And it's just like, Eric's being so much stronger than even I am, at least to me. I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes, but I just can't stand people. Like, this could be such a, and it was a good experience. I need to focus on that. My therapist is always like, look at the numbers.
I was going
to
say,
there's 30,000 likes, there's 400 dislikes. Like, do the math.
Right. Right.
I get it. It's just like, oh, it still gets
because
me.
Because if you're in, like, you know, put yourself in Eric's shoes. He just got essentially a giant shout out to his case. And he also has his own podcast. So he's gotten not only attention on his family's case, but attention on his career and other cases that he's trying to help.
Yep.
You know, in front of 2 million people. So yes. he's like, oh my God, I'm yes. sure the benefits highly outweigh these, you know, small percentage of people who have a big mouth on the internet.
They do.
And so, you know, I'm sure he's like, yeah, there's some hate, but that kind of, you know, like you said, it kind of comes with the territory. When you put something in front of 2 million people, like, not all 2 million people are going to agree with what you have to say. And that's just how it is with anything in life. So although it's like annoying and it is, you know, hurtful and unfair that he has to deal with more shit than he already has to deal with, just in the nature of what he's going through, you know, it's like, yeah, but you really did help him way more, you know, than what the shit he had to deal with.
And it's like, whatever, if you're going to give us a dislike or a mean comment, you're still helping us. It helps with engagement. It helps the video and you give us a view. And guess what? We've raised, like, me and Eric were looking at it last night. I won't say the total number, but we've raised thousands of dollars for his charity of choice so far.
Yeah. And that's amazing. That's and what we wanted to do at the end of the day, right?
Don't raise really awareness. Care. Yep. We put extra ads on it.
The petition is kicking ass. I mean,
yep, it is. So, and yeah, we'll link that petition again below. Yeah.
We'll link all Eric's of podcast. Eric's information below.
You mean a lot to me, Seshies. Please.
Yeah. And if there's anyone on here who's got some trash to say, you will be banned immediately, just letting you know.
Like, Sesh is a safe place, and we're not going to have that kind of crap here.
Nah.
Am I breaking out in a rash?
I ain't having it. Oh my God. Okay, that's the thing about our family, dude. I do the same thing.
You're doing it too. I can even tell you on your face.
I get like a little red, and then I like barely touch my skin, and it's like...
So now we need to just like...
Grammy used to get that, dude. Our grandma used to get like the angry rash. I think a lot of people...
Okay, my mom tells me that's like an Irish thing, but I don't know if that's real.
Maybe.
But I don't even know how Irish we are. That's another thing. My ancestry results keep fucking changing. So. Yeah, could be Irish. Don't know.
Yeah, wait.
At least I was born in Boston, though, so I think I can wear a Celtics hat.
Okay, true. Wait, but yeah, what's up with the ancestor thing, low-key? Can we talk about that for a second?
I don't know. I feel like we should do an episode, like, reviewing all our results, because I did an episode of my, like, channel one time reviewing my 23andMe results. And they were so fucking wrong. Like, they updated it years later and now they're completely different. Like,
I don't understand.
Okay. And I remember showing them to my grandma years ago and she was like, these are wrong. She's like, there's no way you're way more Italian than this.
She's and like, no.
She's like, that is not right.
Dude, I don't understand. Like,
no, Nana, it's science, Nana.
They change all the time, though.
No, they change, yeah.
And like, 23andMe's
updated too.
What's the difference? Because you've done both 23andMe ancestry.
Josh did both for me because of health reasons, because he thought the 23andMe would give me, like, maybe they would
but figure out what the fuck was wrong like with
me
different. Before,
but they didn't really tell me anything. Yeah, they're weren't different. They? Yeah, we should sit down. Hey, we should, like, compare them. The we should do an investigation. I don't even know how much they actually can tell because it changes constantly.
I did mine, like, probably 4 years ago or something. And then I looked back on it like 6 months ago with you and it was like totally different and way more specific. And then I always get these emails that are like, hi, your ancestry is updated. So I'm like, I don't even believe what I am is what I am. I don't even know what I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know. And then like, we need to compare ours and like see and make sure that our sides line up.
That's another thing is on ancestry. Oh, it says we're second cousins, which I'm pretty sure we've even said this on the Sesh once maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did.
What the hell?
It says some dude is your first cousin and I'm the second. We don't even know the dude. So this shit's wrong.
We need to expose
it. We need to expose it.
Oh my God, we should, dude. That's amazing.
Dude, you know what I just realized? I've got to take my medication.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a dentist appointment today, guys. And
why don't
you
update the people on your mouth situation?
Should we take a little quick break before we do, actually?
Let's take a quick break. We'll thank a sponsor or two, and then we'll be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it. What has the drama been with your teeth? Because you've been through some shit the past week.
Yeah, dude, it's been like really painful, but also my teeth are in.
Yeah, I was going to say, side note, the real ones are in. They look so good.
So if you don't know, you get when you get veneers,
still getting used to them,
which I got them mainly because, well, my teeth have always chipped my whole life. Mm-hmm. I guess now that I've learned that it's an EBV thing, I have reactivated Epstein-Barr virus, and that kind of weakens your whole body, including your enamel.
I mean, that makes sense.
They chip off all the time and they're insanely sensitive, like really, really sensitive to hot, cold, like even bath steam and like hot tubs were a problem for me. It was really bad. Like,
oh my God.
And like I would get bonding on it, which would help because the first time it chipped, I was babysitting this little girl in my neighborhood and she like jumped into my arms and literally, dude, her head chipped my tooth.
Oh,
and like pieces of it fell off my front tooth. So I've had bonding on it forever, but it has come off. I've spent so much money just like fixing the bonding.
You are constantly getting it, like trying to get it fixed. Like,
and eventually just gave up. So it was just chipped for a really long time. And like, of course, other people didn't really notice it much, I'm sure. And like when I said I'm getting this done because I had this chipped tooth, so many people commented like, I never knew you had a chipped tooth. Mm-hmm. But if you like actually saw it up close, it was a pretty clear chip. And then it was also like flat up onto the top of it. So it's just like very sensitive, like even in the middle of my tooth was sensitive.
It's giving me like
So I knew I had to eventually do this, but the problem was I have really small teeth, and so I had to do gum surgery, and I knew it would be like this 6-month ordeal to do this. But I finally like buckled down and did it this year. I got the gum surgery in November, and I just got the final veneers put on because I've had a set of temporary veneers on that I believe are made of fucking wax.
And you said
I might be wrong. You kept saying wax.
There weren't spaces between?
Only a few. There was like, they're like kind of in chunks. So there was like the front two, there's no space between them.
That's
and then there's
so
like
annoying.
Three without a space.
I don't know
can't
why that
floss.
Really bothers me. How long were they in? Like 3 weeks?
A month.
Ew.
Full month.
Like that.
And like normally it can be a little faster, but we like went through this special lab and of course COVID, everything's slow, whatever. But these ones are real. There's spaces in between them. They feel like real teeth and they don't feel as bulky as the other ones did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was always wondering, like, if they were wax, like, could I just like, what if I accidentally like lit them on fire? Like, would it be like a candle? Would they just like melt?
Oh my God. I feel like probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
You should have kept them. Asked to keep your old ones. And then we could have like done a little experiment.
Well, I swallowed one of them.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, that happened too. Like last week, I swallowed one. Oh, yeah. It was with Sydney.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we were drinking. And so I wasn't like really aware that I was literally like chewing on it. And I think I just swallowed it. So.
Oh, my God, dude. The feeling of like, remember when you would lose teeth, like when you had a loose tooth and then you would like be chewing and you would bite down bad and it would like give you that sound in your mouth where you like could like, tell you like,
oh my God,
it literally makes me want to crawl on my skin. I hate
it
so much.
It was real weird. And then like, of course, to put your veneers on, they have to like shave. This is a permanent thing.
Yeah.
They have to shave your teeth down completely, which I always thought because I saw like, I think it was Jeffree Star or someone like getting theirs and then it was like little triangle. Like,
yeah, yours weren't like that.
They were
though.
He looked scary as fuck.
Yeah, they looked like little like.
Like fangs.
Yeah.
But mine weren't like that. Mine were shaved like in half. Like, but they kept their length.
I hate that.
So I had the full length. They just were like,
they're just
completely
like thin, basically.
They're like
theoretic.
Thinned out.
What?
They're so gross. But my teeth are already thin. So yeah, it was like, But so I don't know what is up with me, dude.
I was going to say, talk about your experience. Was that 2 days ago? Because holy shit.
My mom has told me forever that this just like runs in our family. This like resistance to anesthesia, and she's always like, I always have to ask doctors for more pain meds when I have surgeries or like for different things because I like you they can't numb me as much. And I always was like, maybe
you're like, okay,
like I never really like knew if it would be like a legitimate thing that I would experience too.
Yeah,
but I definitely do, and I'm trying to figure out why it is, but laughing gas has zero fucking effect on me, dude. Like
zero? Why did you get
pretty much zero
then?
Because it okay not zero it like takes the edge off enough that it like it kind of relaxes me and like sometimes I can kind of like sleep or get into meditative state, but it doesn't make me feel like She was like, your hands should be feeling kind of tingly. A lot of people feel like they're lifting out of the chair.
Yeah, I felt like Jesus himself rising.
But you were also a child, right?
I was a child, yes. And that, but holy, I remember nitrous made me feel fucking high as balls. Like, I was literally sitting there. My whole body was tingly. I remember I was like, and my mom, I just remember my mom being like, this is like the closest you'll be feeling to like drunk essentially for many years, Janelle. And I was like, yeah, this is awesome.
Have you ever had nitrous in laughing gas?
Yeah, I have.
Did you feel like
good shit.
Pretty affected by it?
Yeah, I mean, it works, but I like knew what was going on.
Mm. Yeah, you still yeah, know.
Like, you I still know like, what's going on, but did you feel like floaty and kind of?
Oh, yeah. I felt like, I definitely felt it. I feel like, yeah, you were like texting.
Yeah, oh, I was. I would fine. Not have been texting.
I'm having full conversations with the dentist, making jokes, talking about Twitter, thinking about my YouTube videos and my calendar while I'm there. Like, it's insane. I'm like, bro, I am dyslexic and even I could do math right now on this laughing gas. It's not doing anything for me. And they're like, are you sure? And they keep turning it up. And it happened at the oral surgeon too. They're like, you're turned up all the way. Are you sure you're not feeling this? And I was like, nope. Like, you guys are gonna have to do something else because I feel this. So they kept having to just pump me with Novocaine.
Yeah.
And so the other day when I got the veneers on, it was only supposed to be a few hours. And my dentist is amazing. Like, love my dentist, love the hygienist. She's a big fan of my channel, actually. And I love her. She's the sweetest person ever. But it took so much longer than it was supposed to because they had to re-numb me like every 30 minutes. And he was like, I've literally never seen this with anybody. I went through a whole tank of their laughing gas. A whole tank. She was like, she had to take it out and fill it up again. Because we still had a few hours to go. The whole thing took like 7-8 hours.
And you're supposed
to take
a few.
And I'm still not done. I have to go back today. That's why I just had to take medicine because I have to take something to relax me before I go in because of how sensitive I am. And I don't even think we're going to fuck with the laughing gas today. We're just going to like numb me, take this medicine. Hopefully it relaxes my body enough. But I can't figure out what exactly is going on here. I think it's a combination of things after because I tweeted about this. And people have given me all types of answers. First of all, it's very common for people who use cannabis to have issues with nitrous. And not only that, dude, anesthesia.
No, do not tell me that.
That's
my
why, like,
biggest fear is I've never been knocked out before ever in my life. Never been on anesthesia. And my
yeah, you haven't.
My biggest fear is it not working on me or like waking up. And people are yeah. like, you do realize that's not possible. Like, it will work. I'm like,
oh,
I
it's know, possible.
I know, but I'm just really scared of that. Oh my God. Now that you say cannabis mm-hmm. users, like.
It's a, well, that's why it's like extremely important to be upfront about your use of recreational drugs because your anesthesiologist needs to know that, which I've known about that. And of course I've always been honest about that type of stuff. I don't even think I used cannabis last time I was like completely put under. Yeah.
But
I did not know about, yeah, for my breast reduction back in 2015, I didn't wake up during that or anything. Thank goodness.
Oh my God.
I actually was smoking back then.
Imagine that.
So yeah, I don't know. That didn't happen with me. But I told them. So maybe they use, I believe if they know you use cannabis, they just use extra because of that. But you have to tell them. So anyway, I knew about that, but I didn't know that it's the same thing with local anesthetics.
I guess
which now
that makes
sense for me because I've had local anesthetics for several different things. And like, it's never really worked on me. Like, even pain medications in general. But I'm like, is it because I have fibromyalgia? Because a lot of people are telling me I have fibromyalgia and I can't, can't get my teeth to numb because when you have fiber, your nerves are just like really fucked up.
On fire.
We're just like
overactive.
We like feel everything like, they're overactive. So I don't know if it's that or if it's just like the weed or like, I don't know.
Now that you're talking about local, now I'm thinking back in the past few times I've had local. I remember they were like, are you numb yet? And I was like, no. And they were like, oh, okay, well, we'll wait a few more minutes. Like, this one time, this is a long tangent, but I've had hormone therapy before because we can go into this some other time, but I'm like really low on testosterone. And like, even though I'm a female, females still need testosterone. I basically have none. Like, I have like the amount as like a postmenopausal woman. And
yeah,
I'm,
you have like none.
Like, I have like none.
Like, you can take some pills if you have low T, but like, you need full on pellets, which have to go into your like butt cheek,
basically. But anyways, they numb you for that. And I got it like years ago, but I was definitely smoking.
Yeah, you
back
showed
then.
Me a video of that shit. They better numb you for that.
Yeah, but I remember they were like, my doctor was like poking me. She's like, you feel that? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay. And then she was like kind of rubbing it, massaging it. She's like, you feel that? And I was like, yeah. Cause then they like poke you with like a razor blade, basically. I was like, do not poke me yet. I was like, I feel you touching me. And then she like ended up giving me more. And then recently when I got my IUD replaced, they numbed my cervix for a second, but I was like, that did not feel numb to me. So wondering if that has to do with it. I don't know.
Dude, the IUD thing sounds like terrible.
Yeah, it's not a good time. It's not the worst thing on earth, but it is kind of, now that, I saw this tweet the other day, I was like, why are we making women get IUD placements when like people are getting, you know, prescribed shit for like much, you know,
we should be given like Ativan or something to calm down. I was like, for
that's true.
It is so stressful. You every time you do it, you like throw up and like almost die.
The first time was okay. The second time I was not okay. I was literally like,
this last round was really bad.
Because she was like, okay, you're good. And then I got lightheaded. So I was like, I'm just going to lay here for a second. She's like, no worries. Like, just, she left the room. She said, come out whenever you want. So I was like laying there. And then all of a sudden I felt like I was going to shit and vomit simultaneously. Oh, so I was like, I need to go to the fucking toilet or I'm going to shit and vomit right here on the ground. But then I was like, I sat up and I was so lightheaded. I was like, no, if I go to the toilet, I will pass out in the hallway. I was like, John was in the room. I was like, John, what did I do?
Get the trash can.
I was like, I'm going to shit myself and I can't leave. He was like, oh God, I don't know. And luckily, like, it went away after a few minutes, but it was so dramatic for a second. I was just picturing myself. I was like, I'm going to try and run down the hallway to make it to the bathroom so I can shit and puke at the same time. And then I'm going to pass out and then I'm going to end up shitting on the ground.
Oh my God. Dude, you are not alone with that. There are so many. I was reading the responses to that tweet. The amount of people who have had horrific pain from those IUDs. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I feel like some people have had it way worse. Like the first time actually, like it hurt, but it wasn't, I don't know. Both times, like I would still, I did it again, right? So it couldn't have been that bad. And I would do it again if I chose to. Like I really like this method of birth control, but yeah, getting it placed is not, it's not the most fun thing, definitely. Because they have to like crank open your cervix, which is not
sounds like torture.
Supposed to be opening at any, like, so.
Unless you're, having like a baby or something.
Right. Oh, so it's like, you know.
That really scares me. I don't think I could do
it. It's quick. That's the nice thing about it is like, it's painful, but it doesn't last long. It's pretty fast.
Can you like pay to have extra medication or like something or be put out if you want
you
to?
You can. Yeah. I've heard some people can be put out. I just wouldn't. I'd be like that for like, it's literally like the actual procedure is like 5 minutes, like 5-10 minutes. Yeah. Quick. So, but I'm prescribed Xanax for on like occasions to where like I have bad anxiety. So I was able to take that and that helped with like just the, because it was the second time I already knew what it was going to feel like. Mm-hmm. And so I had already like worked myself up more in my head. Cause I was like, it's going to hurt. Hurts first time. It's going to hurt. And I like kept reading things. I was like, the second one hurts more than the first. So I was like, let me take a Xanax so I can like chill.
Wow.
So that helped a little bit, but like the pain wise, like they give you something like to insert the night before that helps soften the tissue. But as far as like pain, they're like, take some Advil. I'm like, okay.
Well, I feel like they're like the pain is bothering you to an extent, but it's also just the anxiety of almost feeling like you're being tortured. Like it's out of your control.
Yeah.
Someone's using medical instruments on you and that you don't know what they're going to do next. And you really don't know what's going on. Yeah. Like it starts to feel like torture.
Scary. The first time wasn't as bad because I didn't really know what to expect. But the second time was worse because I knew exactly what she was doing. And like, it just it's very uncomfortable.
Ugh, I did not like that.
But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, if it was that bad, millions of people wouldn't do it like they do. But
I don't know. Why don't they offer like some nitrous for that? You should just, you know, that would be nice for
probably
that.
Probably because of cost. I don't know why.
We were just Googling it the other day. You can have it because we were watching Christie's, Raw Beauty Christie's birth story video. And she was talking about how she got nitrous when she went to the hospital because her pain got so bad. And I had no idea you could have it then.
She was like trying to hold off an epidural and she was like desperate for something. So they gave her, she was like, I need gas and air.
With
nitrous and oxygen. Mm-hmm. And I guess you can, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like afraid to get the epidural. I personally am like, please inject that shit into me immediately. But also I'm very scared of the thought of a needle going into my spine. It freaks me the fuck out. So
yeah. So if they could like,
give me a little something beforehand, calm me down so I can sit still.
It makes such a difference. And like, luckily I really trust my dentist and he's like, not the type that's like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep working through your pain. Like if I make an even like a slight move, he's like, we're done.
Yeah. Good.
Give her more, you know, turn the thing up. Like,
that's good.
So, and so basically at the end of my appointment yesterday, after like 7 hours, my teeth still weren't, you know, at the end, they have to like, when you get like a tooth, like a cavity, they use that little film and they put it and then you like go like this and then kind of grind it back and forth, and they can see if there's any rubbing between your teeth.
Oh, yeah,
it,
like, I think measures it. I think I've done that like once or twice. I can't really remember. Yeah.
So they have to like polish your teeth, but like it's very tricky because it looks the same. Like there's like putty.
Sure.
It's the whole thing. So he was trying to do that to me, but right now you could work on the front of my teeth and it wouldn't hurt, but the backs are so sensitive because that's where my real tooth is.
Oh.
And Josh was there and he could just tell I was in so much. The laughing gas wasn't doing anything for me at that
point.
And the
Novocaine wasn't working.
He literally was like, I can't numb your teeth. I
don't understand that.
He seriously texted me after, was like, I've never had someone not be able to get their teeth numb.
I mean, when you have Novocaine, you should feel nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
It was wild.
Like, that's insane.
I know. It was really bad. And I just like couldn't even do it. And Josh was like, she's done. Like he could tell because I was just like wiggling around in my chair so much. Like I was
so uncomfortable.
It probably would have only been another 30 minutes of it, but still. I just like literally could not do it. So I have to go back today. And that's why I took Halcyon.
Oh,
but,
my
yeah,
God.
I can kind of feel it now. It's starting to make me feel a little bit tired.
Hell yeah. Kendall just good. Falls asleep on the table.
I'm hoping I can. I've fallen asleep there before because I have when they shave my teeth down completely, I was on Halcyon and laughing gas together.
Yeah.
And that just put me to sleep. So that was fine.
Okay.
Like, it's just this last time we wanted you me to be more conscious so that I could see the teeth, make sure I like the placement. So it's just, I know this is boring to some people, but yeah, it's just been like this.
No, I don't think it's boring. I think it's people who are
just kind of like fucking, I mean, some people just don't like the dentist and I've never been like that, but it's just like the pain I've been experiencing recently. I'm like, is it the fibro though? Because I never had this when I was younger, like before I had like reactivated EBV, which has been like the last 5 years for me.
Yeah.
I never like had this bad of pain with dental stuff. Like it's like unbelievable after I'm completely numbed. And so I was tweeting about it and it was just really interesting. Like some people, it was the cannabis thing. Some people said it could be the fibro or EBV or something. And then some people were like, it's because you have Rh negative blood. So that was really interesting. And there were a bunch of comments saying that people, especially redheads, which most redheads have Rh negative blood, have this issue with anesthesia and not being able to numb yourself with anesthetics and all that stuff.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
So yeah, it's a very interesting topic and I kind of wanted to bring it here because our comment section is always really insightful.
Yeah.
And like, yes. I thought I want to know what you guys have. Maybe some of you like work at a dentist or something and have some insight on this, but
dude,
yeah, even my dentist was like a little like tripped out by my teeth. He was like, what the hell's going on here?
The fact that that's so bizarre to me because right? Like anytime, like I've had, let's see, I've had a cavity. I've had 4 baby teeth pulled before. And like anytime I've had, you know, anesthetics in my mouth, like Novocaine, it has made me like numb.
Really?
Like nothing. Like I can't feel like it just, it's, I mean, they like ripping teeth out of your mouth and I was fine. I can't believe that. It's like, it doesn't work.
So when
right
you
now.
Would come home, like when you would get Novocaine and you would, you know how it like, you can feel it literally up to your nose.
Yeah.
Could you, yeah. Like in your cheeks.
Yeah.
When you pushed, could you feel pain? Or would you just feel complete numbness?
I couldn't feel
numbness?
Pain. I could feel like pressure almost.
To me, it still feels, because I had so much, it's still 2 days later now, feels up to here where I push. It feels like kind of like an underground zit. You know that feeling where
it's like
a painful zit that's deep under there, but it feels like that all around.
Well, I wonder if, that's weird. Is that because of the Novocaine or because your mouth
I think
because
there
open?
Was so much Novocaine. He put so much Novocaine. He had to do it every 30 minutes and I was there for hours and hours and hours. So I had so many shots. I can't imagine how much they had to use.
Ew.
No, the pain from having my mouth open that
Dude,
long
that
is here.
Hurts. The jaw.
If I
pain.
Open my jaw, I'm like, oh my God, it's so, I've been just like falling asleep with a heating pad just like wrapped around my whole face.
Yeah, so. I'm sure that's, what's up?
But yeah.
Have you had your wisdom teeth out yet?
Yep. And that was very bad
were
for me.
Were you knocked out under anesthesia for that?
Oh, yes.
Or were you on local?
Well, I had impacted. So they had to cut through my bones.
Gotcha.
So you have to be.
Okay.
I believe they don't do that unless, or maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe some people just fully go, but yeah,
I don't know. My brother got his out and I'm.
And they were impacted? They saw it through his bone?
I don't know if they were impacted. That I don't know. But I know he wasn't under. I don't know.
Yeah, I had to do the.
What, have you gotten yours out?
Yeah. And I was definitely under. Like I
you
was
under?
Fully. Under.
Yeah.
But
so
when
I
woke up, I was like a crying mess.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's
the weirdest,
for
weirdest
anesthesia.
Thing ever.
Me, same. They had to wheel me out in a wheelchair and I was like hysterically crying. Like, had no idea why. I was just sad.
Yeah.
Yep. Same thing.
Apparently, that's really common for anesthesia is to cry.
Oh yeah.
My mom got out of surgery last year and she was like called me and she was sobbing and I was like, oh my God, something went wrong. And then the nurse took her phone. She's like, she's completely fine. She's just crying because she's come out of anesthesia and people just cry. I was like, okay.
Dude, it's true though. You literally, you feel like, and you feel like so like, I don't know if maybe you feel like thankful you woke up, but you feel like so happy to see your family again.
Oh my
like
God, that's really
when
scary.
I had my breast reduction, I remember waking up and I saw Josh and my mom and dad, they were all there waiting for me when I woke up and I was just like sobbing and then they like helped me go to the bathroom and I was you're sobbing like, the whole way while I was peeing and and then your dad came to visit me and he brought me a plant and he was like the one of the first people to visit me because you were up at college so you couldn't come down, it was a school day, but your dad came and I was like, oh Mark, I was crying. I was like so happy to see him. Oh my God, so it makes you emotional. It definitely does.
That's so cute. I love that. Oh my God. Yeah, well I'm fucking terrified of anesthesia. I never want it. So
yeah, when I did the wisdom teeth thing too, like mine got fucked. I had to be out of school for so long because I was a dumbass. They said they're like, don't use the straw because it'll suck your.
You got dry sockets?
Yep, all four, dude. Oh. All four.
Yeah, I'm so thankful that I don't have to go through that ever.
Fully fucked myself.
Oh.
Oh yeah, you just don't have them. I just don't have them. Lucky bitch.
Yeah, what?
Which also, I was reading in the comments, some other people were like, yeah, mine aren't in my X-rays or in my head at all. I was like. Wow, we're so special.
You guys are just higher evolved.
Yeah, we're just higher evolved. It's not your problem.
But
you'll get
not
there
gonna
day.
Lie, I kind of liked getting my wisdom teeth out as a kid because I got to be out of school for 2 weeks. And it was sophomore year, and I hated high school at that point. Say, I was like, fine with me.
And then also,
when
your
they got
breast,
impacted. I was like, fine with me.
Your
I'll
breast
stay out
reduction.
Another week.
Your breast reduction. You said your sleep at the hotel or at the hospital. You had an overnight. You said it was like so fun.
Oh
you
my like God! Yeah, so one like, of the best nights of my life. I'm not gonna lie, like. So, well, you get like medication that makes you, that like makes your serotonin like through
sure
the roof.
Like, I'm sure you're on like Dilaudid or something.
Yeah, that's what I was on. And they gave me like one of those buttons to just every time it lit up, you could press it again. And so every time it lit up, I would press it again. And dude, I had the funnest night of my life. I was up all night by myself. No one stayed with me at the hospital. And I watched Grown Ups 2 three times. And I don't even remember watching it. I just kept like, I would be like, oh my God, it's over. I didn't even watch it. Let me restart it. And the nurse kept coming in and being like, oh, Grown Ups 2 again. I was like, yeah.
You're like, oh,
and I don't even know what happens in that movie. Like, I couldn't even tell you like what it's about. But I know I watched it three times. And it was just so fun. Like, and then I like that morning, the sun was rising in my hospital room. And I remember like looking out and like typing some deep Twitter message or like Instagram message. And thank God I didn't post it because I'm sure it was just
you're
so embarrassing. So but
cringe.
It was something about life, like
you're like as the
I don't even know what the
drip
fuck it was
keeps
about.
Going into my veins. I look outside into the sunrise.
It was like the sunrise and the beauty. Thank God for healthcare workers. And it was just like absolute word
so
vomit.
Funny,
but yeah, that was a fun night. It was a fun, I will say.
I remember FaceTiming. You're like, this is so fun. You're like, I am in no pain. I hope I could stay here another night. I was like,
ugh. No, they said leave, bitch.
They're
you're
like,
done.
Time
you're
to get
fine.
The fuck out.
You're clearly fine. Yeah, and then I went home and it wasn't so fun at home.
Because
then like
no
I had
drip.
Those bags.
Yeah.
Poor Josh. It really wasn't fun for Josh when I got the breast reduction because Josh had to change these like little
drainage bags. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, he is so, you know how he is. He can't even.
Oh, I was going to say,
you know
now
how
that
he
I think
is.
About that, how did he do that?
I don't know.
Literally like, getting his little finger prick when we were testing our blood type on MHP, he literally was like.
Yeah, he's, I don't know how he's going to like be there when I have a kid.
He's
I might just have to bring you instead because.
Oh my
know.
God, he's in the waiting
He's
going to
be
room.
Like literally unconscious on the ground.
But he better not.
Well, he
I will
changed
give him
those
endless
things.
Shit
he changed
for that.
Those things, yeah, and good. It was like coagulated blood in a little sack. It was nasty, dude. Those things are nasty.
That's
like
sick.
Anytime you get like fat taken out of your body, so
it's
when they took the fat out of my boobs because they were big, and it was a lot. It was like a pound out of each boob or something. Like I had big boobs, and they were gross. Like they
Ew.
For days for or maybe a week or two, and he had to change them multiple times a day. And that is true love. And it was like times like that where I was like, I'm definitely marrying this dude. In
Hell
fact,
yeah.
The one time I realized I was gonna marry Josh was that one night in college. We got so drunk. I know you know what night I'm talking about. Puked all night, and he cleaned all my puke for me. And I was laying there drunk, watching him cleaning my puke, and I said, I'm gonna marry him.
wait, I gotta ask. That's when you knew you were gonna marry him?
Yes. That is
when he was cleaning
I remember
up your puke.
Yes. I was like, and he still loves me. He was coming over and kissing me on the forehead. And I'm like, laying there feeling like the biggest piece of shit. I was like, all my friends are mad at me right now. I really fucked up tonight. I'm an asshole.
Was that
the
night? I'm
crazy drunk. I chipped my tooth on a vodka bottle and my husband is here. Well, my boyfriend at the time is here.
I remember
cleaning my vomit, giving me hot washcloths, giving me lavender oil. Like, he's an angel and I'm marrying him. That's when I knew.
That's so sweet.
I swear, like, I'll never forget that moment. I was on the couch watching him, like, on his hands and knees cleaning all, because I didn't make it fully to the toilet. It was like, it was all over the place.
I think I remember you telling me that, but I think
it was a legit moment for sure. It was definitely the moment I was like, marriage done.
Oh my
sign
god, that's
me up.
So cute. And also,
like, I knew
gross.
He'd always take care of me, and he will. He like still, he's just. I love him.
Yeah.
Now this medication is going to make me cry. We have to stop talking about this.
Oh, I just love my husband. Why don't you cry about how much you love your cousin, huh?
I love you too. I could cry about that. I could cry about how much I love all of you.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, let's talk about some assholes because I'm going to get too emotional for this shit.
You want to talk about assholes? All right.
Yeah, let's talk about assholes.
Wait, really quick. I wanted to mention this comment that I just wanted to mention something.
Oh, no. Now you're really going to make me cry.
That, well, whatever.
You're going to bring up Maggie's comment?
Yes, I'm bringing up Maggie's comment. Okay, sorry, it's happening. So you guys all know that last week I came on here and was like, I'm feeling rough, feeling sad. And you guys all left such sweet comments. Like, people were so, so sweet.
Oh, God.
Except for there was this one comment about from this username. I believe it was, like, Maggie something, something, something. I don't remember the full username. But it was this long comment. I'm not going to, like, go into the details of it. But it was, it literally touched me and inspired me so much. So if you're out there watching, thank you so much. Like, you have no idea. This was the first comment that ever made me cry. Like, it really, really touched me. I like sent it to Kendall. I was like, this is so sweet. Like, I felt like literally inspired by you just like reaching out and like how your life has changed in the past few months from like watching this show. And anyways, it was just really meaningful. So thank you so much. If you're watching, I wanted to give you a shout out.
It's so nice when we get comments like that. And there's so many of you who write things like that to us
where they just... comments that were so sweet.
They like lift us up in a way that you have no idea, especially because sometimes those negative comments are like just mean things like, who gave these dumb bitches a microphone? You know, just kind of like... It evens it out.
It's kind of funny.
It makes us... No, we actually love
it. These two dumb bitches got a microphone. Sorry, not sorry.
Actually, I don't think anyone's ever said that. But still, yeah. You know, like it's that stuff like that that makes our jobs worth it and like fills me with love and will keep me going and like on the internet, no matter how hard it gets. Like, so thank you to any of you who leave, like it doesn't go unnoticed.
No, and it does not at all. And it's crazy because I've been a viewer of YouTube for so much longer than like I've, you know, been a quote, like any sort of creator. And so I look like there are YouTubers who I watch when I'm feeling down to lift me up and who inspire me and who like really like there will be times where someone will upload something and it really, you know, it changes my whole thought process for the day. And so the fact that someone wrote that and they were like experienced that through our show, like just really, it was like a full circle moment. I was just like, yeah, it really, I had a good cry. So thank you. Aww, I love you guys. Sweet. And it made me feel awesome. And yeah. Anyways, should we talk about some assholes?
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about assholes.
Let's talk about assholes. But before we do, we want to thank our last sponsors for the day.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Good. Feeling good.
Kendall's got to get ready for her dentist appointment here, but we thought we would end off the show with some "Am I the Asshole" Reddit forum.
Am I the asshole?
Am I the asshole?
So we basically just get to judge people and determine if we think they're assholes or not. Sounds fun. Let's do it.
Sounds fun. Let's do it. Okay, here we go. First up, these are kind of long. Bear with me. I haven't read them yet because I wanted to be surprised. So let's see what we got. All right. So me, a 16-year-old female, and my dad, 45-year-old male, and my sister, a 23-year-old female, were watching this show where there were firefighters and they were rescuing a baby that was trapped in a house after a mudslide. Well, when they walked in, an elderly lady was deceased and there was a 3-year-old baby in a crib. or 3 day old baby in the crib. My dad made some comment about how the lady was the mother of the baby, but once it became clear the baby was a couple days old, I said something like, oh, she's obviously not the mother because this lady looked like she was in her 70s or 80s. And my sister was like, well, she could be. Anybody can have a baby at any age as long as they've gone through puberty. And I was like, unless you've gone through menopause. And then she was like, you can still have a baby after you go through menopause. And I laughed because I thought she was joking. Then she asked why I was laughing. And I told her, you know why women go through menopause, right? Like, you know, it's not just because they hit a certain age and just randomly go through it. You know what happens to their uterus and what happens, right? And she said something like, I thought it was just hormones. And I told her, it's because a woman runs out of eggs and you obviously can't make a baby with no egg. And she got all pissed off at me and said, well, I didn't know that. You don't have to treat me like an idiot. I genuinely thought she was kidding. We usually joke this kind of way where we act like we don't know about certain topics that we're uneducated. And she's also a very educated person. So this really felt like she was joking. If I would have felt like she was actually serious, I would not have laughed at her. I would have taken the time to actually educate her. Am I the asshole for assuming she already knew why women went through menopause? This is so funny to me because it's literally a 16-year-old telling a 23-year-old about babies.
Yeah, wait.
Kendall's like, wait.
I'm just like trying to understand why
she thinks that you can have babies before going through, like, what, even she didn't know that menopause means you can't have babies anymore. Like,
so, okay. So
is she the asshole for telling? Apparently her sister got really mad at her.
Who are we asking? Who's the asshole?
The person that called out her sister for being like, you're an idiot for not knowing about menopause.
I think you're an asshole.
You do think you're an asshole?
Yeah, because it's not necessarily her fault. Maybe she hasn't had a good education when it comes to her body. A lot of women don't get good education when it comes to our bodies. And we do this like stupid little sex ed, or maybe her parents kept her out of sex ed for all we know. And she just had no idea what menopause actually was. Like,
shit, I was about to be like, no, you're not an asshole. I think you should have known that. But I mean, damn, you're kind of right.
I mean, oh, I just, no. I don't see the point in like shaming, like, no, educate, but without the shame. Otherwise you're an asshole. Unless I'm misunderstanding.
No, that's right. No, I think you understand it right. I mean, yeah, maybe she doesn't know. But yeah. I just thought
seems like pretty common knowledge, but you know, we never know someone's experiences.
Are there cases of people getting pregnant in menopause? Is that even a thing?
I don't know.
Can you get pregnant during menopause? Once you're postmenopausal, your hormone levels have changed enough that your ovaries won't release any more eggs. You can no longer get pregnant. Okay. Interesting. Oh, you can still have IVF, though? That's interesting.
Oh.
Maybe.
So maybe you can.
Huh. I don't know. I guess if you gather an egg.
Is this person that is judging their sister? Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a female, 16 years old, judging her other female sister, 23 years old.
Okay, so that makes it a little less bad. She was basically
like being like, how do I, being the 16-year-old, know this?
I don't think you're an asshole necessarily, but I think you should just kindly educate your sister.
That's sweet. You hear it here first, folks. Kindly educate your sister. Okay, moving on to the next one. I, an 18-year-old female, recently won $800 off the lottery. I don't play often, but I had a good feeling that day. On my way out, my sister, 23-year-old female, asked if I could go do her a favor. I told her sure, and since she was going to the store anyway, asked if she could pick me up a ticket. I gave her my card. The ticket was purchased with my money. Now my sister is saying she wants to split the money with me. I was going to buy her something with the money, as I guess they won, like, $400 or something. I was gonna buy something with the $400? Money, like a pair of shoes or a nice new blanket or a nice new necklace or purse with something, but I don't think she's entitled to $400. Yeah, I guess they were gonna like split it.
Hey, I would buy a $400 blanket if I won the lottery, if that existed. I'm sure it does, actually.
You would fucking buy. If you bought Casey Musgrave's like giant candle, how much was
thing? Oh my god, I'm embarrassed to say it was like $80. And I won't ever burn it.
And that's the saddest part. I just want to look at it.
No, I love her too much. I can't.
Literally, why did you buy the candle?
If she put out a blanket for $400, I might save up and buy that shit. Because if Casey puts her name on it, I'm like a sucker and I'm done.
Okay, well, if apparently like her sister's really mad at her for not giving her half the money because she feels like she's the one that went and got the ticket.
That's bullshit.
But the other girl bought the ticket herself.
Yeah.
So like, would you, if someone if I gave you $10 to go buy a ticket and you bought me a ticket and it won, would you want to split it because you're the one that like went out and got it for me? You'd
be like,
the person who purchased the ticket, that's their ticket.
No,
that's
she already got paid her $10 to get the ticket and that's it. That should be it. Like, what the hell?
So no splitting.
No splitting.
Okay.
If she, unless the sister
wants to. I feel
like
people will be split in the comments on this because I feel like they're going to be like, yeah, but I was the one who like went out and literally purchased and like brought you
back the
ticket.
But you did a service. You paid for a service. Okay. So let's say in a different world that you can pay a Postmate to go get you a lottery ticket and you pay them the service to go to the store, buy the lottery ticket and bring it to you. If it wins, does the Postmate also get a percentage of your lottery winnings?
But they were being paid. I think this was just doing her a favor. Like, I don't think she got paid. I thought she said she got paid
$10 to go to the store.
No, I don't know where you're getting $10. I think your Halcyon's talking to you.
That may be the case. Well, whatever. I mean, I don't know.
No, that's good.
If it were me personally, I would share this with my sister. If my sister or you got a lottery, I'd just be like, okay, we'll split it.
Oh, you would split it?
Yeah, because that's just me though. But I feel like everyone has their own rights to do what they want. And it's like her, at the end of the day, she bought the lottery ticket. It was her idea to buy the lottery ticket. It's probably the numbers that she picked.
Okay.
She paid for it. Yeah. So it's her decision. And her sister shouldn't really be like that. Like, if someone offers you something, great. But if they don't, then
Okay. Keep
your mouth shut.
Oh.
The Halcyon's really talking
keep
now. I'm feeling
your
brave.
Mouth shut. My God. Okay.
I don't know. Am I wrong? What do you guys think?
I don't know because, yeah, I guess if it's your money and, like, you were just like, hey, can you do me a favor and pick this up on the way? Like, then you could have gotten your own lottery ticket as well. And, like, I feel, yeah, you're just doing them a favor. But then it's like, would you have gotten that winning lottery ticket if you went out and did it yourself? Probably not. I don't know. I guess I would maybe share some money.
Well, maybe she would because it would probably be the same numbers.
Well, maybe,
like, she probably would have picked the same numbers.
Yeah, but what if it was like a scratch off? I don't even know what kind of lottery it was.
Whatever. But, I don't know. I don't play the lottery.
Okay, what's it? Personally, it's like an errand. It's like, oh, can you grab me a lottery ticket too while you're out?
Like, yeah. It's like being like, grab me a
tampon
and
lottery
ticket.
And
if you win, and then... Personally, I would feel obligated to, like, say, oh, well, not obligated. I probably would just be like, okay, you got to take some of this.
Yeah.
But no one should feel obligated to do that. Because
you
they literally
have
like,
to,
it,
unless
like, ran
you want
an errand.
To.
Like, maybe right. you like got a $100 bill in your, I don't know, like, grocery bag on accident. Would that be someone else if they grabbed your groceries for you?
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sid.
I think she's reading into it too much.
Damn, reading into it. You heard it here first, folks. So then she's not the asshole for wanting to keep her money.
I don't think so. I don't think she's an asshole.
All right. I don't think so either.
I think it's kind of asshole-ish to be like, hey, give me some of your money, your winnings.
I think it'd be nice for her to
money.
Share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do it, but...
I mean, I would share it because I think that's the right thing to do, but I don't think...
You shouldn't have to ask to share, though, you know?
Yes.
Like, it should be offered to
That's
you.
That's true. Because then it's like, well, I don't want your money then. It's like, if I have to, like, beg you for it.
Yeah, exactly.
True that.
Okay. All right, what's the next situation we've
got? Am I the asshole for celebrating on the day my girlfriend's grandma died? Here we go. I, being a 21-year-old female, had a birthday a week ago and was planning on spending it with my girlfriend, 23 years old, who I've actually been with for a year. Neither of us live alone, so we decided to rent a hotel room the night before my actual B-Day and then go on a little road trip on my B-Day adventure in the morning. We had been looking forward to this as we both have busy schedules. I'm also not a big fan of my birthday and never made a big deal of it because I haven't had good times in the past. Another thing to note is that I was already feeling down because my grandma had just passed away and I had attended her funeral over Zoom the day before my birthday. So when we get to the hotel room and we have a nice night before going to sleep and relatively early to be well rested the next day. While we wake up the next morning and just as I finish getting ready, she gets a phone call letting her know that her step grandmother has passed away. I comforted her the best I could, but she was obviously in a sense of shock, so we quickly checked out and got everything in the car. I offer the best condolences and words of sympathy I can before she drops me off back at my place to go over to her parents' house. I get home, and while I 100% understand and encouraged my girlfriend to go be with her family, I was still kind of sad because of how my B-day had turned out and was feeling sorry for myself, even though I didn't tell her that. And yes, I know this is selfish to care about your B-day when someone else has passed away, but I couldn't help how I felt. When I received B-Day texts from my friends, I mentioned that my plans with my girlfriend hadn't worked out, and two of my friends insisted that we do something. It wasn't anything crazy, just the three of us doing some shopping and going out to dinner, but I did have fun. While we were out, my girlfriend was texting me and keeping me updated on the situation with her family, and I responded and was trying to be as supportive of it as I could. When I got home, she called and apologized for, quote, ruining my birthday, and I explained that it wasn't her fault at all and how I appreciated the effort she had put into it, even though things didn't work out. She asked how many B-days or how my birthday was besides that. And I mentioned going out with my friends, and she said, and her response seemed to become a little passive aggressive. She said things along the lines of, well, it seems like you had a lot of fun today, even though I didn't. I'm glad today didn't affect you, etc. I asked her what was wrong, and she told me that it is selfish of me to be out having fun when she was having such a rough time. The conversation turned slightly argumentative and me going on the defense about how I'm dealing with stuff too, and I just wanted to enjoy my birthday. I think I could have handled this situation better. Maybe it was insensitive of me to make new plans when she was obviously going through a hard time, but we're not still arguing over it, but it is a sore subject still, and it has ruined my birthday for her. So am I the asshole?
Did he say how old he is?
Both of them. It's two females, 21, 23. 23. So yeah. And they've been together a year, the two of them.
That's my second question.
Yeah, they've been together for a year.
This is a tricky one.
I say this is tricky because I don't know the situation. Like,
yeah, and I feel like so many, like, pretty much everyone in a relationship has, like, dealt with something somewhat similar to this.
Because I could see how it's like, oh, shit, I really want to be there for them. But then I guess, like, if you've, I don't know. I feel like it honestly is situational. Like, some people I feel like would have been like, oh, I need to cancel my birthday plans and go be with my partner. But then some people maybe would have been okay with like doing what she did and like making other plans. But I guess it like, A, how close was she with her grandma or her step grandma? Like, were they really close? Was it someone they barely knew? Was it like her best friend? And so like, it was like, you know, her second mom or something had passed away. Like, that I feel like is a bigger deal than like someone who maybe wasn't in her life as much. Like, how big of it was it a deal to her, first off? And then maybe like you should like go based on that. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Like, if they barely knew them and she doesn't seem that upset. But then also like the girlfriend should have been like, hey, can you be with me today? Like, I'm really upset if it was really upsetting her.
Yeah, she should have like, if she really wanted that, she should have expressed that. Maybe they could have made plans to celebrate on a different day. Yeah, that is hard. Like, I don't know how I would feel in that situation. And I know personally, if there was a death in the family for Josh or I, even if it was on one of our birthdays, the birthday thing would be canceled. And we would both be fine with that. And like, we kind of have different, I think it just depends on your values. I don't think this person's necessarily an asshole, though. Like, I get wanting to have a good birthday. And yeah, like you said, it does. Is it like how emotional is this really for her partner?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, was she literally, did you drop off your girlfriend and was she like crying at the doorstep, like going into her house and like, and then you're like, oh, wow, I'm going to go have my birthday. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's totally, we don't know enough information. But
what do you think, Sid?
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like when she said she dropped her off at her apartment, like she didn't invite her girlfriend to go back with her to be with her family or mention like, hey, that's like true. Maybe we can get together later. And then like the girl is sitting at her apartment, it's her birthday.
Yeah.
Alone. Yeah. Is she supposed to sit there home alone and be kind of like be sad for her girlfriend that's not there?
That's maybe. Such a good point.
Because if the girlfriend was like, hey, I really need you here today, and then she was like, no, like I'm just whatever, I don't want to or whatever.
Totally.
Or like something
from
like that.
From her story, it doesn't sound like she had expressed that she wanted her to be there.
Yeah. Because she just went back home.
So what is she supposed to do? Maybe it would have been even weird. Maybe for all we know, the family would have felt uncomfortable if she had brought her girlfriend with her.
Right.
Because like some people don't want new relationships. Like it's some, sure. they want to keep it very intimate unless you're like married. They don't want to like, so maybe she wasn't invited. So is it a straight up issue of like, I just don't even want you having fun today. If I was sad,
a bad day, or was it like, I wish you were with me.
Cause like if I was doing something and they couldn't be there with me and it was their birthday, I would be like, you should go enjoy your day then.
Like, I think it's a little lame to be like, something bad happened to me, so now my day's ruined. But I'm not going to have you, like, I don't want you a part of my, quote, ruined day. So I want you to go be miserable on your own day by yourself, though.
On your birthday.
Apartment by yourself. Like, don't come to my family thing because we don't want you here. Like, whatever. I'm just making assumptions, but like.
Yeah, it sounds like they weren't really invited to the family thing.
So then, like, what are they going to do? Literally just sit at home? Well, yeah. And feel bad?
And she said that she was like getting birthday texts and she was just like telling some of her friends. She wasn't like seeking out going anywhere. Her friends are like, let's go do something then. You know what I mean? It'd be different if she was like seeking out, trying to go find something. Like she was like, oh, I'm just at home.
She's like, when were their friends? You know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think you're an asshole.
I don't think you're the asshole. No. I don't think so.
Maybe there could have been improvements with sensitivity. Maybe. I don't know the full story. But yeah, like I definitely wouldn't think you're an asshole or like did anything like damaging or wrong.
No, you know? I don't think so.
Oh, this is fun.
This is kind of fun.
Judging people.
It's kind of fun.
We're like Dr. Phil's. Like Dr. Phyllis's.
We're like analyzing.
Analyzing.
We're like analyzing.
We're like analyzing.
Ready to like analyze the next like.
God. We need to get that on a soundboard. We're like analyzing.
Delete that. That sounded so wrong.
No, I am not deleting that. That is staying. That was amazing.
I like how it says delete it instead of cut it out. I'm delete.
No, that shit is not being deleted. That was amazing and I liked it. Okay.
Oh, that was good.
Here we go. Am I the asshole for deciding to not go to a friend's wedding? I have two close friends from college. Let's call them Jane and Bride.
Bride.
So the bride and then Jane.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I gotcha. Believe is where they're getting at.
I thought the girl's name was Bride.
Right. So we don't see each other often as we work in different cities, but we all keep in touch. However, me and Jane only found out about Bride's engagement last December when Bride decided to post on social media. This week, Bride sent us a message inviting us to her wedding, which happens 3 weeks from now. The wedding happens on a weekday. What? Jane and I both have work on that day. We asked why the wedding is, quote, suddenly happening. That's when she confessed that they've been engaged since August and have been planning since last year. Am I the asshole for feeling like Jane and I are just backup guests and deciding not to go? No, Jane also won't attend the wedding after hearing I won't go. So, and I guess the explaining what backup guests are, meaning guests you invite last minute because they have seats to spare. Also, my issue is not the invite itself, but the fact that the engagement wasn't exactly shared with us. I think friends are supposed to share life-changing moments with each other.
Okay, this is very interesting. Mm. This is interesting because I had backup.
I was going to say, doesn't everyone have backup?
I think does. I don't know. And then I didn't know what to do with it because my options were, okay, I could just like take chairs out.
Yeah.
But there was more like, okay, so obviously you have to like limit how many people you can have at your wedding. Sure. Or else you're going to invite everyone you've like ever liked.
Sure.
And it's just going to get insane. And, and their friend. And
of course.
You know, so like, there were a couple people that I do like, I'm not that close with, that I had kind of on my backup list that if other people couldn't make it, maybe I could fit them in.
Hmm.
And I never knew if that is that like extremely disrespectful. It might be. I might be totally in the wrong with
that.
I did invite some people like maybe a month before. There were like a few people from college and I was honest about it though. I like sent them a message. I was like, hey, like, my parents wanted me to limit how many people were at the wedding. So I wasn't able to like include you in the original list, but like I don't think that's uncommon, dude. No pressure though. Like, you know,
I don't think that's uncommon.
But one person I sent that to never replied and then never talked to me again. And I think offended her,
really,
but we weren't
know.
That close.
Oh my God. You got to tell me who this is.
I'll tell you both who it was later, but yeah, after that, I've never had any interaction with her after that. I think she was literally offended that she was like a backup guest, which I hate having like, but it's expensive.
Well,
this shit is so expensive. You literally can't afford to have every single person there. And it's like, if I can include you, I'd like to include you. And like, okay, I wasn't going to be mad if someone couldn't come.
I just think that's so weird to get a, like, I don't know, like getting offended. did, because you weren't that close with that person.
Not
like,
at all.
These two seem like they're like good friends, these three. Yeah. So like that, I would be a little like, hi, you haven't told me. If it was one of my best friends and that's they were different. Just randomly like, hi.
This is someone I like hadn't seen in a few years, was not very close
so
with.
I don't understand, like this post made it sound like they were best friends. So I'm like, I don't think you're the asshole for being pissed. Like, I would be pissed too if one of my best friends didn't tell me, then like randomly invited like 2 seconds before.
Yeah.
But I completely understand, like, if it's someone who like you're not super close with, so you don't like consider one of your best friends, like why would you get butthurt over that? Like, who cares?
Right. And it's not just to fill seats. Like, oftentimes at that point you can still like cancel seats and like lower your budget even and save money. But it's like, or I really do like this person. It would be nice to have them there. If I have the opportunity, why not invite them? I think that's most people's thinking, but I can see how people take it and they're like, oh, I wasn't on the original. I'm just your backup. It's like, well, dude, come on. Not everyone. Someone has to be backup. Like, wait till you plan your own wedding and you look at those numbers. You're going to have backups too, you know? But I get it if it's like you feel like this is like one of your best friends.
That would just be just awkward. Weird.
Yeah, that's,
like I'd be like, wait, you're getting married and you.
But I do think it's important that if you're gonna do this like last minute thing, that you just make it clear. And that's what I did when I messaged people. I straight up was like, I have more seats and that I thought I wasn't gonna have, and I'd love to have you there. We have room. Let me know. And like a lot of people were really, some of my friends were like, oh my god, great! Like I'd love to. And some extra people came because of that.
Yeah,
some people got kind of mad.
I think that's kind of funny to me. Like, you're going to get mad.
I know. It's like, dude, come on. And it's like, people get so selfish about weddings. It's like, do you guys remember who this is even about?
Oh, I know. Wedding drama is insane.
Oh, wedding drama is insane.
Like, it sounds awful.
It's stupid.
And a lot of people feel like they run into wedding drama with their own families. Like, either the bride and groom or the groom and groom or bride and bride, whatever it is. Like, their two families are like arguing with each other. It's like, hey, assholes, you're supposed to just be supporting me and my partner and what we want.
I know. There was so much drama on the day of my wedding between my parents because it was like their first time being together after their divorce.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, my God.
Honestly, they pulled it together so well.
I was going to say, I was with them like setting up the altar and stuff, and it was
fine. Both of them alone for a couple hours setting up the altar.
Yeah, it was me.
I was like watching from the window like, wow.
And then I went down there, hung out with them, and it was fine. Yeah. It was all right. Yeah,
but I guess we need more information, but I don't think anyone's really an asshole here.
No, I don't think so.
No assholes on site.
No assholes on site. Okay, let's go ahead and do, what did we say, like one more? Should we?
Let's do two.
Two more? Okay, here we go. This one's going to be good.
Time.
Am I the asshole for not wearing a bra to work? This is easily the most absurd controversy that I've ever been involved in my life. Day one of my new job, I wear a sweater and pants to work. I do not wear a bra. I have never worn a bra for 2 years at my previous job, and nobody has ever brought it up. I obviously have not been wearing a bra at home for the past year during lockdown. I hate bras. I find them very uncomfortable and unnecessary. Two people came up to me during the day and say that what I'm wearing is inappropriate and that I should wear a bra to work. This is a new job. I don't even know these people. I'm literally wearing a sweater. You can't see anything. I'm covered up. You can't see anything except the shape of my boobs, I guess, she said in parentheses. One woman literally told me these words as she was complaining about my clothes. I have large boobs, but I feel that what I'm wearing is completely normal. So that was day one of her job. Day two of my new job, I do not wear a bra, but I wear a t-shirt and a jacket on top of that. I am dressed even more conservatively that day. Two more people give me similar criticisms again. One of them is a secretary of my supervisor, and so this is getting serious. I mentioned to her that the office literally has no dress code and that employees can wear what is comfortable. She says that there is still an unspoken etiquette to be followed. She also mentioned that the shape of my boobs were very visible. The 2 years I spent at my previous office, I did not wear a bra once. I usually wore sweatshirts or t-shirts and blouses most of the time along with a jacket. Even though I may have large breasts, I did not see an inappropriate or a problem. Am I the asshole here?
Wow, that is...
I'm going to process that for a second.
So many things.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I'm not wearing a bra now.
First of all, I'm not wearing bra, so...
The titties are out and they are relaxed and they feel good and I don't care.
Titties out have been like my vibe for like probably 3-4 years now.
Dude, ever since I got my breast reduction, bras have been like... And only if I really need them, you know? Like, and I love my third love bras. I really do.
I know you do.
We know we love those. But like most of the time, if I can get away with not wearing a bra, I just like, Like sweatshirts and stuff?
Not into it. No.
No. Okay. Like, why do we need to wear bras? What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Sid. Well, okay. So, like, exactly what you said, if I can get away with it. But if you're at a, personally, I'm just saying, if she's wearing a sweater or whatever and she doesn't think, but, and I don't mean to say this, but if her, like, nipples are showing right through her shirt and it's just, and it is, like, a distracting thing, it is a job. And it's like a professional setting. Like, I don't know. I could see how, like, if it didn't make someone uncomfortable, that's not unfair if it's very clear that she's not wearing a bra, like a t-shirt and a jacket. And they said they can see the outline or whatnot. Like,
well, I'm a kid. Was it like a see-through t-shirt where you're like straight up nips were popping out? But then she didn't do it for her last job for 2 years.
Was it other women that were complaining about it?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. Because
it's like, if it's distracting to men.
Sorry.
I just don't really give a fuck.
I just can't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal, but I don't think she's an asshole.
No.
I just think that maybe it's a different view.
It's like a word. Well, yeah, I understand.
But I feel like it's more like, okay, well, if you're distracted by my boob, like, I understand, just, like, traditionally, yeah. Sid, I agree. Like, people in the workforce, like, you are expected to
have a level look a certain way
and have a level of professionalism. And traditionally, like, having nipples, you know, like, popping out or, like, saggy boobs, whatever boob it is, like, that's not in a cage, like, it's theoretically is not, like, professional. However, I personally think that's a load of crap. Like, these are my body parts, so why, if you find my body part distracting, as long as it's literally not, like, literal, like, if I have my, like, tits, like, hanging out on the fucking desk, like, maybe, okay, but, like, if I'm not wearing a bra, like, that's your own problem that you're distracted by my literal body part.
Okay, but really fast, what if, like, there was a guy just saying, wearing tight ass pants
and his, like, bulge was out?
Junk is, and it, you can't see it.
Yeah, maybe, but it's just,
or
like,
you can see it when he walks a certain way, and you're like, you know,
yeah,
what kind of, like, where does that?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. Because, like, what if it starts to make you uncomfortable, right, and it starts to, like, get
you're
kind of
creeping
assaulting.
Me out? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's a great point, because it's, like, it is kind of a double standard of, like,
I think, yeah, I don't know. It's really hard for me, because I think breasts are a little different, though, because these are here to serve a purpose. Most of us have been breastfed. A lot of people, you know, we, like, this is part of our reproductive system, part of our life. Like, you literally, does that make any sense?
No, it does, because
the drugs are hitting, but I'm trying to say.
No, it does, because
I'm trying to say, like, there shouldn't be so much shame. And I just wish, I understand that that's how, like, business professionalism is, and that's how society has made it that way. But, like, personally, I'm just like, you look over in other countries and people just don't even wear shirts. And I was telling Josh the other day, like, I really wish that for swimsuits, I could just go to a regular beach and just not even have a swimsuit on. Like, they're just nipples. They're just nipples.
Just little fat
and guys have them too.
And
like, what the
nipples.
Hell?
It's
so, you know,
flat.
What? I think if they're going to, if there's a policy where it's like no nipples, then the men shouldn't be able to show their nipples either. No tight shirts. If your nipples are too hard, men, flatten them out, put a band-aid on them or something. No one wants to see. It's distracting. Like, it's a double standard. We all have nipples. They're a part of the body. Are we also gonna be like, eyes are distracting?
No, it's so true.
Like, butts, stomachs are distracting.
Like, your pants are too tight.
Yeah, I can see your butt shape. It's too distracting. Like, where's the line?
Also, I feel like this ties into the whole conversation of, like, dress code in schools, because women have been taught, like, cover your shoulders, make sure your shorts aren't too short, because you don't want to be distracting for the boys. Fuck that.
The spaghetti straps thing was such a conundrum.
Literally spaghetti straps. Have your two fingers, three fingers. Like, why? Because I have shoulders and a chest. Like
how about we teach them?
Society from day one to, like, cover up, because the opposite sex might find you distracting and you can't get work done. Like, I think that's not fair.
That's, like, encouraging to sexualize it.
That's
almost like saying, because that's what it is. It is sexualized. That's why, like, they don't want you to show it or whatever. But then why is that? Like, it's almost encouraging the fact that, oh, that is,
it's literally, it's being a sexualized, like, thing. Guys have, you know, thoughts about you girls from a young age. And so that one right
stop.
There is sexualizing instead of being like, well, we need to, like, learn what's appropriate, like, an appropriate time to have these thoughts, which is not, and versus what is not.
Exactly.
Instead, they're just like, cover up or go to the dean because you're showing too much skin.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, guys run around on recess without shirts playing football.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's never an issue.
Like, that's not distracting then? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. It's a tough subject.
It is a tough subject. And boobs apparently are really controversial. But at the end of the day, they're fucking mammary glands.
They're to feed things at the end of the day. Like, so, yeah.
It's just like, I don't think it should be. That just seems like a non-issue. Like, everyone just fucking chill. Let her wear her sweaters without bras.
I was going to say, like, it'd be one thing if, like,
in my opinion,
she was having, like, if she was wearing tops that were clearly meant to, like, show off breasts. Like,
yeah, of course there needs to be a degree of a dress code. Right. But it's like, if you can see a little shape of her nip under her t-shirt, under her sweater, I'm like,
oh,
God, I'm literally on camera right now to thousands of people and I have no bra. And I don't give a fuck. And if anyone has anything to say about it, sorry. Oh, try another channel.
Sorry about it. Don't know what to tell you.
Thanks for your opinion.
Thanks for your opinion. Love you.
Thanks for your opinion. But with peace and love.
With peace and
love. I don't care.
With peace and love, please fuck off. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. What's the last one?
Okay. Last one. This one is this one's actually good because I want to know what you guys think about this. It's short, but it's a good one. Okay. I just bought a pair of Oakley Aviator sunglasses for $4.99 because the girl rang up a barcode on the case instead of the actual glasses. I didn't say anything, just looking for validation because I feel like a dick that maybe I should have said
$4.99.
$4.99 wow. For Oakley glasses. She rang up the case, not the glasses. So the guy got a pair of Oakleys for $4.99. Am I the asshole for not saying something? Oh. I don't think you're the asshole for not saying something.
You don't? I do.
You do?
I do. I would never do that. And I've had times where that kind of stuff happens and I correct it.
But here's the thing.
Because I'm a good person, okay?
Okay, here's the thing. I agree with that if it was like a small business or like, but like these giant corporations, I'm like, they're not losing money. Like,
I know. But I think that the employees can get in trouble.
Well, yeah, maybe they wouldn't.
Because that's a big mistake.
I feel like they'd get in more trouble if I brought it to their attention. Was like, yeah, your employee screwed up and charged me.
I don't know, man, though.
Cindy, what would you do?
I mean, the right thing to do would be to tell them. But I'd also be like, hey, this person's ringing me up. Is she going to tell me the price?
Like,
me the price.
Like, if it was commission-based.
Right.
Then that would matter to me. Like, if it was like, oh, I'm the customer or the person working, the employee is literally making less money because of the mistake or whatever, like, then that's something. But I'm like, she ain't making any less money.
No, and I also think, like, she, like, if it was rung up that way, and then, like, how long are you looking at the screen? Like, if she didn't catch it, it's not your fault. It's their loss.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, there's, like, a sense of, well, what's right and what's wrong? But I don't think you're going to affect them really that big of a deal.
No.
Like you said, it's a corporation. They make tons of those, and they sell them for way more than they probably even cost to make.
If I was, like, working with a small brand or, like, you know, like Etsy or something like that, mm-hmm. and that happened, like, mm-hmm. 100%, because I'd be like, oh, that's literally not fair. Like, because that person really does rely on my sale for them to pay their bills. But, like, these mm-hmm. giant corps that are just paying people minimum wage, I'm kind of like,
designers.
I feel like I'm probably going to get, like, people are probably going to get hate on this. But, like, I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know.
I gotta get it for designer shit, too.
I kind of agree. I know. I agree with you.
If you want me to be honest, I don't know if I would be like, oh, wait.
I would, though, because I, like, really believe in karma. Like, I'll be too scared. Like, I literally will get anxiety if I were to do something like that. I would feel guilty for months, and it would, like, send me into a panic attack. I'm serious. Like, I cannot do that type of stuff. But I do agree with you guys, and I see your point, because, like, especially with designer stuff, this stuff is so fucking overpriced just for a label like Oakley. Josh, like, loves Oakley glasses. And I've told him his whole life, I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, it's so, and he loses them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole nother point. It's like way too overpriced as it is. So I get your point that they are ripping off people, and it's like, I don't think the guy's an asshole, but I wouldn't do the same because I really believe in karma and I think that'll come back to you in some way.
It's the idea of, like, because honesty
is crucial. Well, yeah, but honesty is also...
Yeah, no, I think it's the idea of finders, and, like, I don't know how... Because, like, if I found a wallet and there was, like, $100 mm-hmm. in cash in it, I wouldn't take the cash and then be like, here's your wallet back. Or, like, I wouldn't steal it. Like, I would go and give it back to... Or I'd try and find the owner, give it to someone who can mm-hmm. help find the owner. And I wouldn't... Of course, I would never take anything like that. Like, I'm not, I don't,
I would
not
just like feel like thief, every time like, anything bad happened to me, I would be like, that's because I shouldn't have taken those sunglasses.
$4.99
It would just drive me insane. Like, if it was just like someone rung up like a plant at Home Depot wrong, it was a couple bucks wrong or something like that, maybe I'd let it slide. But that's a big purchase, $4.99 for a pair of Oakleys.
What if that happened to you and instead you were like, I'm going to take the money that I would have, that I saved from the Oakleys and go spend it on a charity or something and like give it away. Like I'll take my $100 somewhere else. And like,
hey, I like that.
Like, oh, this was a really,
that's some redemption. That karma was like, redemption.
You know, like, oh, you could see it as like, oh, I got lucky that I only.
Some like Robin Hood steal from Oakley and take give it to the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or you could buy maybe like that a work. New case for your glasses.
Just and he's like, awesome, my budget just widened a lot.
I'm totally joking. I'm totally joking.
That's amazing. I love that.
Oh my God. I want to know what you guys think of all of these situations. I'm sure there'll be a lot of opinions. So
yeah, this was really
fun. Let them be seen.
And thanks for just letting us have a chill, kind of go with the flow episode. We really enjoyed this. I feel really relaxed.
And now I'm going to the dentist and I feel like pretty relaxed. You're gonna on do my great. Way there. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
And then you'll be finally done with that whole process. No, it's been a long process.
It has.
You've been dealing with this for a while. But anyways, that's it for the.
What?
Is the Halcyon kicking into my body now? Yeah. I don't know.
We like share it genetics. Just, like, so just
secondhand.
Yeah.
Okay, that is it for this week, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate you guys hanging out with us every week. We love this show so much.
So much.
And we will see you on the next sesh. But until then, keep it fresh.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.